The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're ready for that one.
Oh, man. You okay?
Happy right, Wednesday. I don't know if I'm okay. Yeah. just getting loosened up, getting ready for radio show. Dom, it was a late night at the Crudy household. Many households across the Madison, Dane County, all over south central Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin, and up in central Wausau area, a couple of tornadoes. Whew. We were under constant tornado warning from like 7 o'clock on last night at my house.
Wow.
And the neighbors, not trying to make this all about me, because we came off power, barely flickered at our house, but we heard a big crash and a tree next door. And that is the third time that house has had a tree go down in the weather.
What?
I'm not sure if this one got hit by lightning or it took out the electrical lines, but the electric was taken out and there was a fire in the back. So there were fire trucks and firemen finally come to my door about 10 o'clock, you know, and I walked across the street and looked back and tried to see. I didn't, you know, it's stormy. I'm not going to stand out there. They keep threatening with inch or larger size hail. And of course,
don't try to move the electric wires, Crudy. Leave that to the professionals.
Well, they came to my house at 10 o'clock and they said, it's pretty dark back there and we've got some loose electrical wires. You got dogs?
Yeah. You're like, fetch, boy.
Berkeley.
Go get them. Squirrel, squirrel.
The funny thing is I did let Berkeley out in the storm and he just walked out quickly and did his business and came back. But they're like, you may want to keep the dogs in.
Right.
And so anyways, looked out there, tree down. I got just a limb across my fence. That's the worst that happened to my family. And then got a knock on the door. After the fire department, I get another knock on the door. It's one of my son's buddies, and his house has no power. He apparently has to get up for school and wants his phone charged. So he's staying at the house. And, you know, we kept hearing the thunder and the lightning. And after midnight, it settled down. I slept like a baby. I turned on the AC last night. But there were red cherries on the window for most of the night. Fire trucks.
The reflection, yeah, always. Turn the AC on, man. What was the temperature?
Didn't matter. Too warm.
You just wanted it cold?
I wanted to sleep the sleep of you know, a dead man. And after the stress, because, you know, I've seen tornadoes before. And once upon a time, we lived my first house, the first house I built right after I got married. My stepdaughter, Kelsey, was living with us then. And maybe we had the baby. Maybe Caden was a baby. But I was living at the golf course. And tornado warning went off. And I look up. And there is a funnel cloud over my house. And I'm yelling to Kelsey and my wife, get to the basement, get to the basement. Kelsey, can I get a snack first? I'm like, get to the basement. You know, like, this is how much respect. I'm the new stepdad. And apparently she, well, do I have to do what you say? You know, you're like the stepdad. You,
Rudy, right?
No, you may not get a snack. Please go down. But when I was a kid, it scared the crap out of me. Lived on the east side of Madison. Where is that? East side, but there was a U-Haul down the road that got hit by a tornado. And you could hear the trucks getting cracked by the tornado.
Turned up, yeah, right.
We were all running for the basement, but the tornado was just up the road from us. Maybe half a mile, less than that. So I've had a few close calls, and that's as close as I want to come.
It is, yeah, certainly scary. Weren't we driving one time, Chris? We were in Madison going to La Crosse or something. It was years ago.
Yes.
And the sky was getting dark. It was an angry sea. And
it
you
was
were
beyond dark.
Out, man. You were freaking out. Like, come on, man. We're fine. We'll drive around it. And man, you were having none of it. But we calmed it down and kept on our journey. And of course, nothing happened, thankfully. But yeah, you were very sensitive to the storms there, Mike.
When I worked at the TV station out of college, they used to make me go chase the tornadoes. Go, you know, like a big supercell would come through. They'd be like, go, go, Crudy, go.
Go cover it.
They'd put me in a Dodge Colt, you know, minivan looking thing, and I'd go chase tornadoes. And their greatest disappointment was when I would come back.
But did you get any videos ever, man?
I never got, not of tornadoes. Now, I think it'd be easier with like a cell phone. Like I went out a couple times in the yard just looking up, like I would video it and then I would run, you know, because everybody wants to go viral.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worth it nowadays, but you know, they're the storm chasers and the storm hunters.
Oh,
yeah,
I know.
The tech and the drones and the cameras are really, really super cool. And with the drone footage is now after, I think it was Iowa, it just got land-based. Terrible tragedy. People died in Iowa yesterday from these storms. And you just see the line of wreckage where that tornado passed through. It is certainly a scary situation.
Rich, you had trouble getting to work today, right?
Indeed, I did. I thought I'd be here in plenty of time. And to set the stage, I'm kind of out by the nitty-gritty on the west side, Middleton, Middleton-ish. I'm taking the back roads to Old Sauk. And just as I come up to Old Sauk, on one side of the street is a tree, a huge tree, snapped in half, laying in the street. So half of it's blocked.
Did it happen while you were driving?
No.
Oh,
no.
Just clarifying.
But I did stop and take a picture of it. Then I realized that to the left, on the other side of the street, an even bigger tree was completely ripped out of the ground and laying on a house. So I pulled up to Old Sauk, going to make a left, and I saw Old Sauk was actually closed. So then I had to backtrack, and that's why I
University Avenue does, last time I checked, when I drove west to east, still had a tree laying in the right-hand lane.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it was...
Be careful out there. There's trees jumping at you.
Right, man? Wow.
No, in Milwaukee, you guys didn't have this weather, did you?
You know, I was
glad
watching...
Glad you made it, Rich. Glad a tree didn't fall on you.
The radar, and, you know, I would project forward on theweather.com and see where the storms are saying they're going to hit, and a lot of times by the lake that, you know, the weather changes, that they dissipate or they move around. And so I thought we'd get hit about 9:30, 10:30. And, you know, yeah, certainly some, you know, rain came through and whatnot, but nothing that was nothing like what, you know, South Central, Wisconsin felt, certainly Iowa, nothing to that degree, to my memory last night. I slept through it like a baby.
Wisconsin Public Radio reporting still this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, more than 25,000 people throughout Wisconsin still without power. Still without power. I never lost the power. Just flickering. I felt we were pretty lucky. You know, I mean, it was strong straight line winds. We got a big maple in the front. That thing was nearly bending over. Like its branches were coming to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
My wife got the garage stall.
Yeah.
The other vehicles, my son and I have the two vehicles I currently manage. They were out in the elements just hoping to get hit by hail.
Yeah, any hail? I didn't see anything on
our
end.
I got
anything
no hail. No. Hail, no. We didn't get hail.
Hail to the no.
If you've got hail or tornadoes or weather stories to tell, feel free to join us today, 844-967-2789. We will eventually wind our way towards politics. But, you know, the weather, Everyone at the water cooler today is talking about the fact the neighbor's tree fell over and started a fire and the fire trucks were outside all day, you know, and so suddenly you got a little drama in your life.
Maybe everyone is just you telling the story over and over and over and over again. It seems like everyone, but it's really just Crudy.
Have you seen that Liberty commercial where the baby says, Liberty, how many people do you tell? 844. You know, if you got a weather story, 844-967-2789. CJ, this is the only context in which you'd be a welcome caller. You can be our weather spotter. If we need... Oh, CJ, do I have a job for you?
Wait, isn't CJ in like Florida or something?
Tornado spotter.
It's off season now, man. It's May. He's probably back by now.
We need CJ to be our tornado chaser. Yeah. It doesn't pay job. Well, but if you get that video for us, CJ. Oh,
right. It'll go viral. I mean, you got to have something to do in between your day trading of DJT stock. And I think that's a good way to backfill it. You know, you can get on your phone, do your trades, and, you know, chase the storms around. I think this is a great idea. I like this idea.
You know, I'm also a little disappointed. The evidentiary portion of the Trump trial in New York, that's done. So, you know, even my consumption of the media, a little depressing. You know, what am I going to watch?
Well, there's like stuff going on right now, like today in Florida. You know, the judge down there is still threatening to, what, perhaps throw this whole thing out. There's action all over the place, man. Crudy, there are politics that never, ever, ever stops. Storms may come, storms may go, but this political world in which we live, it will always be here for us.
Until they clear the lumber off both University Ave and Old Sauk Road. I think it's weather talk. Nothing but weather talk around here. And politics, maybe, but not until they get the chainsaws out. You know, Jesse Dupree comes to mind. That's the direction we should have gone. Damn it! Jackal, I picked this song. Why not Jackal? Maybe we'll get there soon. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It was stormy around here last night. Hope you're doing okay, you and yours. Join us. Tell the stories if you want. And I got a fine direction to go next time.
No, I can't wait.
Naked Pike Ride. It's coming to a town near you. Very important stuff.
Don't tell the Republicans they're not very fond of the naked bike race or nakedness in general, unless it's with their, you know, paramours.
More Devil's Advocates will be right back talking weather, nakedness, and other important topics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy hump day to us all. Join this political party anytime at 844-967-2789.
The party may be less political, more meteorological today. More weather-centric.
Well, I mean, how long can you talk about the weather, man? It's kind of nice and sunny right now, a little windy, but it's good to go now, baby.
Until I hear some Jesse Dupree with some chainsaw, then I'll move on. Here is a good moving on topic. Political, you found the political side of this. The World Naked Bike Ride is back in Milwaukee this summer. Here's what you need to know, Dom.
Woohoo!
Looks like you'll only need to pack your sunscreen for the upcoming 4th annual World Naked Bike Ride scheduled in Milwaukee next month. Now they're going to have one in Madison as well. And we uncovered everything you need to know about the bike ride. Organizers put the event to reject oil dependency and also to celebrate body positivity.
I mean, a plethora of reasons for the protest.
I've always found you to be a body positivity guy. Is that the prime reason for your nakedness?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, body positivity is very important. I might have to lose a few pounds before next month if we participate, Crudy, but Yeah, man. I mean, people get down on themselves too. I mean, the whole thing is just too much. And, you know, as the culture goes and as politics and religion impacts everything, no, I think it's great for people to have a good sense of their body and acceptable, their body being accepted of theirs and their and other people's as well. It's a great concept and more people should embrace it.
Then why do you fat shame me so often?
Because, man, I got to counter the short jokes. I mean, it's just how it works.
The event also highlights the importance of pedestrian visibility and safe biking and pedestrian infrastructure.
Very, very visible, more visible than normal.
Now, Dominic, just for clarity's sake, participants don't have to be naked and can wear whatever they feel comfortable with. The dress code is as bare as you dare. Some participants wear body paint or underwear, while others, and I suspect this would be you, Dom, wear nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
The first recorded naked bike ride was in 2001 in Spain. By 2010, there were 74 events across the globe. And Dom, the naked bike ride in Milwaukee is scheduled for June 22nd, 2024. They will meet at a venue at noon. They don't tell you until the day before, right? And the ride starts at 4 p.m.
Oh, no, they know. They tell you where the venue is. Yeah.
Well, first in Madison, street. They're a little more coy about the whole start point. Maybe it's really? The objections from the Republicans to the nakedness, Dom, but the Fiesta Cafe in Milwaukee, 1407 South First Street, will kick off the bike ride. So that's where the naked people are meeting. Seems like we should be there, Dom, representing body positivity and all that kind of stuff.
Karuta, you do not need to register. The event is free, but there are donation stations available to encourage outreach for the organization, and you don't even need to ride a bike to participate. You can show up at the event on rollerblades, a skateboard, or as a runner, just no cars.
Oh, see, that's where they lost me.
Organizers estimate about 200 Milwaukeeans have participated in the ride in previous years, and other cities have rallied up to 1,000 people. A good question here, Cody, is riding a bike naked legal in Milwaukee? As the Journal Sentinel reports, nudity as a form of protest is legally protected so long as no one is engaging in any lewd, obscene, or sexual activity. Participating in the bike ride is not an illegal activity.
Well, that diminishes its allure for me as well.
But we know we talked about the naked bike race, of course, in Madison. The Republicans freaking out about it last time. So we posted this up on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page. If you don't like it, go do it. And some of the conservative followers that we have, there was a common reaction. Chris Nielsen posts on our Facebook page, pedophiles, Bob Balwig, he says, or its true name is pedophiles on display. Now, I don't know what it is about you Republicans and you conservatives that think that nakedness is synonymous with pedophilia. That is, I can't even wrap my head around what kind of reach and asinine thought process you have to get to in order to think something like that. But that asinine thought process is probably some of the motivation for the Republicans to what, pass the law or try to pass the law to outlaw the naked bike race, Cody. This is what they did. Now, this was a Cap Times article from January 16th of 2024. Naked bike race ban passes Wisconsin Senate. They approved two bills that would effectively criminalize participation in Madison's version of the World Naked Bike Ride, among other events. One bill would prohibit a person from causing a minor to attend an event, quote, at which a group of adult participants intentionally expose their genitals, buttocks, or other intimate parts in a public area. It also would prohibit any photographs of minors at such events. The second measure would alter state law to allow people to be charged. They're going to allow you to be charged. Well, thank you. They allow you to be charged with a misdemeanor for the quote-unquote intentional display of genitals in public, rather than the current definition of that behavior must be public and indecent, which is, of course, a higher bar. The Republicans, very, very butthurt about the fact that people are naked. You know, we're born in this world naked, man. What is wrong with you people? Is it strictly the God? Is it the insinuation that there's nakedness, that it's pedophilia?
There it is. Jesse Dupree playing that chainsaw. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. And for our Madison listeners, for the 14th year, bicyclists will travel through Madison wearing their helmets and not much else. The World Naked Bike Ride is scheduled for June 15th, day after your birthday, buddy.
All right.
Now, I would not be able to make that event. Although it is a daytime event, 11 a.m., you must register. And they'll give you the address, the start point, one day in advance. Oh, they promise okay. you.
I gotcha.
But that'd be the day after your birthday. But later that night, Snoop Dogg tickets, Pottawatomie. More Devils.
My birthday suit. I'm going to ride a bike in my birthday suit?
The day after your birthday, on your birthday hangover, Dom. You should come down for that.
But Pottle, man, that's a Milwaukee concert, right?
I know. We could do both. Doubleheader. Leave the chainsaw home, though.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Sawing some logs out there across the state of Wisconsin. We appreciate you spending some of your time with us. And Dom, I told you, there was a headline I found quite intriguing. This was breaking news at the Washington Post. And it's not in our backyard, but it's in Michigan. Bird flu detected in a Michigan dairy worker. And I find this news troubling because it's not the first time. A Michigan dairy worker has been infected with the highly virulent bird flu, the second human case in less than 2 months of the H5N1 virus circulating amongst the dairy cows. Now, when you say bird flu, isn't that supposed to be amongst the chickens? You leave my cows alone.
I didn't know that. Don't we already have like hoof and mouth and other cow-related kind of disease?
Stop disparaging the cows, or I will sick the beef and dairy industries on you.
I love the cows, man. I used to milk the cows. Did I ever tell you that story?
I always worry when you tell me about milking the cows that somehow you were perverse in doing so.
Back How to can the, you be perverse in milking the cow?
I don't know, but I've always you saw worried. Like
Republicans are, oh, naked bike race. That must be pedophilia. What are you talking about, man? You're milking the cows. I mean, what are you, Andre Jacquin having sex with the cows, man? What's wrong with you?
You just always seem a little too gleeful to tell the stories.
The hardest to ever work.
Like locker room talk. Dom, the worker in Michigan, experienced mild eye symptoms and has since recovered, according to state officials. Public health experts said the latest indication that the virus is spreading more broadly will likely increase pressure on federal officials and the dairy industry to conduct more testing of cattle and people.
No. We do more testing, we'll find more positive results. We don't want to do that. Haven't we learned from COVID-19 and Donald Trump's philosophy on this? No more testing. Stop the testing and stop the counting of the votes as well.
A nasal swab of the worker had tested negative for influenza in Michigan, but an eye swab, when do we start taking eye swabs? From the worker was shipped to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, where it tested positive for H5N1, indicating an eye infection, according to the CDC. The agency said today that the second infection does not change its assessment that the risk to the general public remains low. What about those working in the dairy industry? In April, federal officials announced a dairy worker in Texas was being treated for bird flu shortly after the highly pathogenic avian influenza had been identified in U.S. dairy cattle for the first time. Researchers believe the virus had likely been circulating in dairy cattle on a limited basis for about 4 months before federal officials confirmed the disease. So it was already here. It was going on for 4 months. Then they found it. I mean, they always seem like they're playing catch up on these things, Dom. Texas worker had only experienced eye symptoms and has since recovered. The Michigan case marks only the third human case in the United States of H5N1. In 2022, a poultry worker in Colorado tested positive for the same strain of avian flu. And human illness with H5N1 bird flu has ranged from mild, you know, infections such as eye infections to more severe illness such as pneumonia, which has resulted in death in other countries. And some government officials and public health experts have been frustrated that more livestock herds aren't being tested and that results of tests that are conducted are not being shared quickly enough. In response, the federal government in May, we're in May, right, Dom? Unveiled yep. $98 million in financial incentives aimed at encouraging more testing of cattle and beefing up biosecurity protocols on farms. Love the play on words there, Dom, to control the growing outbreak. What say you, Dom? Any concerns? Someone else's problem? You know, you're not milking the cows anymore?
My immediate question is, how does that impact the milk production?
You know, yes, it must be
a cow is infected with the H5N1, does that go into the milk product? And I'm assuming pasteurization will take care of that. But, you know, we do have a movement among some in this country for unpasteurized milk. So we'll see. I'm not clear on all that. Eye infections and, you know, resulting death from pneumonia seems less bad than the COVID. But yeah, anytime you have, you know, pathogens like this jumping, it's always a sense of concern.
Will it affect my steaks? In a call Tuesday with several public health organizations, a top CDC official outlined a nationwide influenza virus monitoring plan for the summer when flu activity and testing typically decline. Does it decline because you quit testing for it?
Right. Maybe.
Now, here's what our friend Jeff, who I know from neighborness when I was just a teenager, Jeff was my neighbor farmer growing up. Jeff says, eye swab, collect a little eye booger in the inside corner of the eye. That's how you swab the eye. I thought he was talking about the cows.
Not the back of the eyeball. Good to know.
For all we know, Jeff could have bird flu.
If
get tested, buddy.
Does the steak get infected? I mean, you know, milk versus steak. Is at least the milk, there's a more of a process. But steaks get cooked. Can you cook out? I mean, how does that work? Is that even possible to be?
What about my steak tartare with the raw egg on top?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist in this regard, but again, it is concerning. But if we had three people in the country and two of them, at least on the Washington Post article, described eye infections, that doesn't seem entirely terrible.
Jeff messages back, cough, cough. That's not funny, Jeff. For all we know, you've got the influenza, the H5N1. Hi, Devils. Sherry from Horicon says she's just checking in from Horicon, I guess. Hi,
Sherry. Hey, Sherry. What's happening?
DJ in the Saw. I guess that's different from the Shaw. I'm not clear if he's up in the Wausau area or if he's from the Waukesha area. Yeah, I guess my brain's farting here. I'm all for the naked bike ride, but I'm not for cleaning the seats afterwards. Seriously, though, how bad those seats got to smell.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. Not great. I the worst thing would be someone renting, you know, like the bubbler bikes. You know, you can rent the bikes. That'd be bad. Take your own bike, folks, or you know, just do the walk. Don't use the community rented bikes.
Or DJ, do like Dom does. Take off the seat.
Right, so a lot easier that way. And you're less likely to fall off.
844-967-2789. There are some serious politics going on. Just less trial coverage. Less Twin Gross Crudy's Day. You know, it's left me wanting for more, Dom, somehow. More topics. More.
You've been deep thought. Just feeding yourselves at the trough of all this media, this consumption you've had, Crudy. from Trump over the last.
I've been like Cookie Monster eating at the Cohen Trump Stormy Pecker testimony.
Tapping your veins, man, to get that vein. Got to need something. What does it got? Does the world have to be on a cataclysmic trend for you to keep motivated, Critty? You got to have the bad, crazy Trump news all the time to keep you going.
Well, it helps. It's motivating. Yeah, yeah. I do find it motivating. The Trump trial, I have found entirely motivating. I'm not entirely married to, I think Matt Flynn, our fine guest yesterday, said he thought there would be a conviction. And I'm less convinced. Although I'm not a criminal litigant. I've been a criminal, but never a criminal litigant. Like Matt was for 40 years.
So hey man, don't discount your experience there, Curdy. Don't body shame yourself, bro.
I've been
bro.
In court plenty of times. Yeah. They called me defendant. I wouldn't have perceived that as cataclysmic news. That was just news that I, through my crudy mass consumption engorgement on the media, that I could then come and give it back to the audience because they have to work. They have to earn a living.
Fruity filter. Yes. Yes.
So I could be your coffee filter, if you will, Dom. But now there's less coffee going in the filter. And I find myself wanting for more Java, apparently. Although I've never drank this stuff.
Oh, come on, man. You've had your Irish coffees.
Oh, yeah. I guess I do. But only with whiskey in it. And a little whipped cream on the top.
I was gonna say, do they put milk in there or cream? How does you have your Irish coffee?
Little whipped cream, just to show my masculinity.
Yeah, a little on your nose, yeah. Curdy, I think Matt Flynn, I'm with him, man. Here's the thing. I know you're going through a little bit withdrawal right now. I know it's been a tough couple of days, right? It's winding down.
I do have the shakes.
Yeah. No. Tuesday, we know that there's going to be closing arguments starting, the charging decisions will tell the jury what to do. Closing arguments will happen, all that. And then they'll go and decide whether or not Donald Trump is guilty as charged. Now, it's very possible that by the end of the week, as Matt said, and I would concur, it's totally possible. End of next week.
That's guilty. Not soon enough, Daddy.
He could be guilty by the end of the night. Well, my concern is not what Trump does or what Rudy, if he's guilty, what are you going to get all riled up on it then? What's going to be the next thing to keep feeding that vein, man?
Well, I'd find it. I'd find it. But I'm telling you, I am quite concerned that Trump is not going to be found guilty. And it's not that I live on the adrenaline of Trump's misdeeds. But, I am desperately seeking accountability for this man, justice for the American people. And, this is not the case I would have picked. And you know that, Dom. You know I don't want to be fighting about hush money payments to a porn star. That is not, although it is fun to talk about on the radio sometimes, the gravity of the alleged crimes. I mean, Michael Cohen was alleged with greater crime, larceny, than the cooking up the books that Trump is alleged with.
Well, it's not just the cooking of the books, of course. It's the withholding of the information that the American people could have used to make a more informed decision as to who they would vote for the presidency. That's the election interference part. That's his origin story. This is Trump's first foray into messing with elections.
I've heard this from the right, but answer me this. In all truthfulness, I'm not just trying to play devil's advocate here, but I'm trying to understand, where is the crime in that? What is the crime? If I was running for higher political office and I got some skeletons in my closet, I do, Dom. Maybe not Trump-like. No allegations of rape, but let's say
convicted of civilly liable being of rape. Yeah, but continue.
But let's just say I'm running for office and I had some outstanding personal debts, or, I had a bad relationship with a woman and I wanted to pay her off. I didn't want her to go public with that information. Well, that is information that's negative towards me. But my simple act of signing an NDA or entering into some sort of a financial arrangement that not be made public, well, it might seem distasteful. Well, it's not illegal in and of itself.
Sure, of course it's not illegal.
But that's information hidden from the American public.
But that's it's the other circumstances around it. I can walk into a bank and walk out with money. If I take it out of my own account through my ATM, then it's legal. If I walk out of it and I rob the bank, take it out, I walk out with money. Doesn't mean that it's not a crime.
But the only financial crime here, so bank being a bad analogy, unless you're talking about the theft of Michael Cohen from the Trump Organization, which he is not charged with. And probably is a more has more gravity to the outcome.
This happened after the Access Hollywood tape. As the testimony came out, as Hope Hicks testified and other more credible people testified to the circumstances of the campaign. They blew up that campaign when that happened. They did every effort. They re-brought up the second time the Stormy Daniels deal because he iced it the first time. These were very specifically done in terms and in the context of keeping this information in the middle, at the end of an election cycle. If you decided to go pay off whoever you did need to pay off right now and ran for office in 2 years, no big deal, man. You can sign a contract.
So the crime is in the timing?
You can sign a contract for murder. Doesn't make it a legit contract. Doesn't make it right.
But paying off someone to not tell your story is quite different than murdering someone, man. Stop using these broad analogies.
Great analogy.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Love it when you join the political party. Talk or text. You can do so at 844-967-2789.
I know that Jeff is listening because he messaged me to say, I'm listening. But what I missed from Jeff, still without power since about 8:45 last night, ooh, taped the refrigerator door closed so we don't let the heat in.
Yeah. Might have to cook that bacon, just saying. Gas still works, right?
Well, if you got a gas stove, if Joe Biden didn't come and steal your gas stove from you, maybe you do. Now, back to this thought, just seeing if we can maybe bring conclusion to my modest depression, because this is not the bite of the apple I wanted for the American people. And
certainly,
I don't even clearly see the crime of trying to pay off someone despite the timing. I get the timing. I understand the timing.
That's to influence the election, right?
Well,
I mean, what was the purpose?
So would every press release. So, I mean, that is really a stretch.
No, it's really not. How is it? I mean,
to
if that's
try
right,
and suppress out bad information about myself that might make the voters think less of me? Candidates do that constantly, dude. Every time they do it, is it voter suppression? Is it electioneering? What is it if some guy who's running for office tries and do an NDA? Is that always an election crime? I don't see how it is. The simple act of paying off a porn star.
The NDA is to shield information from the public. While you're actively,
of course, that's why you sign a non-disclosure.
He paid off Stormy Daniels that $130,000 transfer from his fixer from Cohen. Happened 12 days before the election.
Yes,
man.
Yes,
yes. Oh, I mean, what?
Yes,
I mean, yes.
You
don't find that problematic. You don't think that there's specifically laws about that? That's what he's and in his effort to do so, then he also altered, fraudulently entered those on his
books. That's not my question. I'm not questioning whether or not he cooked the books. That was clear. Obviously, this was to pay off Michael Cohen a reimbursement, and they doubled it up in taxes and juiced it up, and then Cohen stole some money out of the mix. That I don't question whether or not that has been established as facts or crimes. Misdemeanor, standing on their own.
Yes.
But the underlying crime, the crime that's being alleged, that would bump all 34 of those
election
charges.
The election interference crime, the election interference portion of the charge.
Is it a campaign finance violation? Which part of it is the crime? Because I'm not convinced that paying off a porn star or anyone else with an NDA attached, I'm not sure that that in and of itself is a crime.
Why does the NDA? Why does the NDA matter? Why do you keep saying that?
Well,
what if he just gave someone a bag of money without an NDA? Would that matter? You keep saying the NDA. Why is that relevant?
Because the whole NDA was so she wouldn't talk about it before the election, right? That's what she was being paid off to do, is keep her mouth.
He never signed it, right? Okay.
Okay, is that a criminal act?
And then she got released from it, right? And then they ended up paying her. And then he got reimbursed. And what was the point? So I guess, yes.
I'm asking where the election crime is. Clarify, because what you're describing is not a crime in and of itself, standing on its own. The FEC didn't charge. The federalities didn't charge. What was the election crime?
Hang on. Hang on a second. The federality, you mean like the Southern District of New York? They didn't charge, right?
Yeah, why is that? Bill Barr, the original catch and kill. But I'm not talking about the Stormy Daniels. I'm talking about what they're trying to link together with the 34 misdemeanors to bump them all up to felonies. And they're saying under, I know it's a state court in New York, but they're saying under federal election law, this is a crime. And I heard the former director of the FEC say, no, it's not. Not to his legal opinion. So I am left scratching my head, wondering what part of paying off a porn star to not talk makes it a crime. Well, cooking the books, but that's the separate charge. That's the 34 misdemeanors. What bumps it into a felony?
It gets bumped into the felony because it would have been a misdemeanor for the election
I hear
violation.
You, Alvin Bragg. I'm just not buying it.
Okay. I mean, I don't have the New York statute in front of me or the federal statute that would discuss specifically what the number is and how that is. He's alleged that in court. That's the point. It's not the individual. It's a misdemeanor on the election side. It's a misdemeanor on the booking side. When you do both when you do the booking side to cover up the other misdemeanor, that's when it can be charged as a felony. I don't know what to tell you, man.
You know, there is actually being pondered in the charging instructions whether or not the jury has to unanimously decide what the other crime is. Like, do they believe it's the federal election crime? Do they believe this crime perhaps happened? Could they check a box and describe which crime they think might have actually bumped this up to the level where these are not misdemeanors, but indeed felonies? And I think the prosecution's really got a problem when they're discussing which one of the crimes do you think this guy is alleged to have committed. When that's part of the charging directive, when they're still discussing this in court, that leaves me wondering whether or not there's an underlying crime that's clearly been proven to the jury. Because I don't think it's the simple act of paying off Stormy Daniels. That in and of itself, before the election, 12 days, 14 days, I get the timing. That's why you're paying her off. Because you don't want the information to come out. Paying off a bad story about yourself in and of itself is not a crime. Even if you're running for office, that is not a crime in and of itself.
Really? I think you might be wrong there, Michael. I think you're wrong. And we'll have to maybe dig into it, perhaps get some attorneys, some people smarter than me. But I don't think that's accurate. If that were not to be the case, Curdy, then why would Alvin Bragg bring this case? Are you telling me then it's strictly political? Of course he did it. He did it for the reasons to keep it out of the news so it would not impact negatively his election process, his chances. That's why he did it, right?
Or it was
political. Do you think that's why he did it? I just want to know, where do you think Trump's head was here? Is that why he did it, or is it for Melania?
Well, it wasn't about Melania.